Residents of the Northeast Kingdom are slowly beginning to dig out from the flash floods that devastated the region on Tuesday morning. More than 100 residences have been damaged or destroyed, and extensive damage to local roads has stranded scores of people in their homes. Municipal officials say it could take many weeks in some instances to restore local infrastructure. And concerns are mounting for vulnerable residents who have no electricity, no running water, and no way to leave their property by car. Vermont Public's Peter Hirschfeld spent 3 days in the kingdom this week and has this report.
No, I get it. You know, I'm not an ex-teacher.
18 volunteers have come to a 150-year-old blue schoolhouse in East Burke to begin the long trek to check in on stranded neighbors.
Thank you all so much for coming out today on such short notice, especially.
Megan Durling has split the group into teams that will be making first contact in some instances with residents who haven't been able to leave their property since floods tore away roads Tuesday morning.
There's an option in here to flag it as a high priority case. What do you think a high priority case would be?
Life-threatening.
Safety.
Life-threatening. Building is not habitable. Do not have their insulin.
Durling and two other volunteers have taken on territory in North Kirby, where they tromp through fields and forests to access homes belonging to residents like Dwight Davis.
Yeah, so my name's Megan. We're just, I'm with a volunteer group that's just checking on folks who are isolated in this area.
Oh, sorry you had to walk way up here.
No, it's fine.
But by the end of the day, we should be temporary to get out.
Oh, okay. Yep. You folks have everything you need in terms of water and food?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right, perfect.
Yeah, we got our power back. We lost that.
Taking stock of needs in a community like this is arduous work. These Northeast Kingdom roads are the last miles in Vermont. Some towns didn't get electricity until the 1960s, and the infrastructure here is still exceedingly vulnerable to severe weather. The half dozen or so homes the volunteers canvass here are all doing fine. But Durling has gotten some alarming news from another crew in the meantime.
Getting messages about folks in the part of Kirby I was concerned about that we weren't allowed to enter. There is an elderly woman in need.
Because development patterns in Caledonia, Orleans, and Essex counties are diffuse, so is the damage from Tuesday's floods. Kirby, Morgan, Island Pond, and St. Johnsbury were all hit hard. And Red Village Road in Lindenville saw some of the most severe devastation to land in the region. Massive road washouts here have isolated a 3-mile stretch where multiple homes were swept away and strewn on the banks of the Hawkins Brook.
It took my neighbor's house away. That was pretty interesting to see. We watched it happen.
Jake Carter has a homestead in between bridges that, according to town officials, won't get even a temporary fix for weeks. The basement and first floor of his old farmhouse flooded, and the river tore away more than half his pasture. He says he's just grateful that his cows and pigs and beloved old goat survived.
They made it. Yeah, they're smart. They all gathered in the barn at the highest point in the barn.
Carter's been living in a camper that he parked in the middle of the road and grilling up burgers for neighbors.
My little strip here is all really good characters that help each other out real well.
Yeah.
But I know that, you know, there's a lot of problems out there right now. So, yeah, I'd be nervous for a lot of people out there.
Adam Sangiolo, who just moved into this neighborhood in May, is especially worried about some of the older residents who are now in their fourth day of being stranded without power or running water.
It's amazing to live in a community that, like, everyone wants to help each other, and it really is, but it's like this community cannot, it's just too much at this point. I don't see people being able to keep this and sustain what's happening here.
On Thursday morning, Lindenville town manager Justin Smith surveyed a quarter-mile washout as contractors hauled in culverts for the repairs ahead. He knows residents here want out, but he doesn't have a timeline for them yet.
I don't. I was told just this first leg alone is a week, so we're not going to be to the Sheldon Brook Bridge for a week.
Smith says he's worried that the town won't be able to find enough material to make all the necessary repairs. He also has no idea how they're going to pay for it. Lindenville is still waiting on a public assistance check from FEMA for the floods that hit here in July of 2023. This is the fifth major flood to hit the town in 13 months.
We're at that point where the purse is pretty much dry and we don't have any liquidity anymore where we can pay.
People who live in the kingdom are accustomed to making do under harsh conditions. But even lifelong residents of this place are taken aback by the scale of what happened Tuesday. Rick Gorham has lived on Brook Road in Linden for more than 60 years. The mountain brook it's named for decimated about a mile of road, swallowed two houses, and damaged two others.
Yeah, it's always been a good neighborhood. I never expected to see something like this.
Gorham's house is high and dry, but his driveway is between two stretches of Brook Road that no longer exist. He says he doesn't mind the inconvenience.
I got a generator up there. I've got four classic cars I'm working on, and we're all set. I mean, there's nothing we have to get out for. We got freezers full of meat, and garden's good. So it's just another day in Vermont. It doesn't bother me any.
What does bother Gorham is not knowing what'll happen to the couple that lived in the old schoolhouse down the road from him. Half of their home fell into the river after the brook carved a 15-foot ravine under the ground where their living room used to be.
The people that were in the house that went down over, they're old. And I'm old, I'm 72, but they're old. And I don't know where they're going or what they're going to do, but they got nothing left. It's gone.
So we were just sort of making coffee and we're in the kitchen. Suddenly we hear the foundation begin cracking.
Pat Webster and her husband Dave live in the home that fell into the brook.
And so we just said, okay, time to go. And ran out through the muck, the deep muck.
Webster's friend on the hospice choir she sings with has a second home that doesn't get used very often. And so the couple has a safe and comfortable place to stay. Webster says she feels enormously lucky right now, but she's grieving the loss of community she shared with neighbors she's lived with for nearly 50 years.
You know, we can never go back to our little neighborhood unless something miraculous happens. Our elderly neighbor up the hill, I'm not sure I'll ever see him again. He's on his last days.
Webster just lost her home and most of her belongings. But she says the thing that tears deepest right now is worry for the displaced residents who don't have a place to live.
That is a huge consideration, far more a consideration than we are, because we have the great luck of our friends and family. And yeah, I don't know what the answer is there.
The Northeast Kingdom will be searching for that answer as they recover from this flood and prepare for the next one. For Vermont Public, I'm Peter Hirschfeld.